Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Some, it's just a matter of talk. Some, it's just a matter of hearing about it or thinking about it or hearing others talk about it. But when you've really, truly entered into a heavenly place that you could dwell with the Lord and walk with Him in spirit and in truth, it's a wonderful place. There's a difference. You know, I was thinking over in the scriptures, I believe it's in the Gospel of Mark. But the Lord was speaking about the kingdom of God and different things. And one of the scribes spoke up and he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, well, you know, he said, you've stated very well. He was telling Jesus that, you know, I listened to you and what you said is the truth. And then the man went on to say a few things like that. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, you know, you're not too far away from the kingdom. And it said that everybody else was quiet. You see, the man had the right things to say, but he still had not entered the kingdom. And the Lord had exhorted him, and it said nobody else asked another question at that point. Because he said, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. And sometimes we could have the right things to say and the right things to do, but brothers and sisters, we must enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. I want you to turn with me over to the Gospel of John this morning. Some will never understand the move of the Spirit. They'll never understand it. They've been around it. They've seen it. They've heard others that are in the Spirit and they speak. You know, we've said so oftentimes about the rain on the just and the unjust. And you know, brothers and sisters, there's many people that are living in this world and the rain of God is upon them. And they rejoice. I mean, they rejoice in the rain and they feel like they've got God because they got the blessings of God. They take the blessings of God and feel like they have God. But see, the blessings, brothers and sisters, are coming on both. They come out on both and they rejoice in the blessings of God. So we got to go beyond the blessings, brothers and sisters, to know God and understand the move of God and the things of God. Let's read a little bit here in John, the 17th chapter. We'll go to about the first verse here. Maybe if the Lord allows, we'll take our time this morning that we possibly could expound. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world." I'm going to read that again. It says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them the word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." It shows the importance of your life right there. Verse 20 again says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Amen. Wonderful passage of scriptures, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you, the thing is when we read this again and we look into this passage of scriptures, sometimes we could look at, boy, that was awesome, the Lord speaking to the people back then, you know, saying some beautiful, beautiful things. You know, and we could look at it again, as you hear me say so oftentimes, you know, we could talk about the word that was, we could talk about the word that is, and we could talk about the word that's going to be. And so oftentimes the sad thing is, brothers and sisters, when we read things like this, we think about the word that was. And again, I believe that the biggest problem in religion and the churches today is they talk about the was and the is to come God. This here, when we read these scriptures, brothers and sisters, we're talking about present truth. We're talking about who we are in Him, through Him, We're talking about everything that pertains unto life right here. And this is a relationship that we should have with Him. Brothers and sisters, when you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and you enter into that place with Him, there's so many things that fall away from you. There's a mind of man, a mind of human reasoning, a mind that's judgmental and critical, and things falls away. The thing is, as He said here, He's not praying for them that are of the world. You see, some of you lose your own soul by out there trying to win this world. You see, and you're out there trying to win the world to God, but see, they're not going to come to God. They're not of Him. He's not praying for them. He knows who His are. You'd save yourself a lot of despairs if you would learn to find the mind of God and find a discernment of the Spirit and you seek after His. Now, the thing is He said He prays for them that will come through your word. But you see, when you walk in the word and one with the word and fellowshipping with the word, then you will be drawn by the word and the people will be drawn unto the word through you. This is how people come to God today. So you say, are we not supposed to be concerned for the people of this world? No. Brothers and sisters, if you would understand the mind of God, there is, if He's not praying for them, what makes you think you should? You say, but Brother Rob, we're soul winners. I understand what a soul winner is. That's what I'm trying to explain to you this morning. You see, many times people find themselves shipwrecked in their own faith because they do not see when they go out and labor in the gospel and they do certain things and they find themselves shipwrecked in their faith thinking, well, you know, why aren't the altars full? Why aren't all these people coming? Why aren't they all praying this and that? And they do, but you know, those days are gone. And I know this might be saddened to your heart, but let me tell you, the great big thrust of these big huge revivals and the thousands of people come to God are over. They're gone. There's a different time, a different dispensation, and some things that are clearing up right now. There's some things that are taking place and they're different. I don't want to leave you in a despair of your mind and thoughts thinking, oh God, you know, there's no chance this and that, but I'm telling you, those days are coming to such an end. And they truly have ended. And you see a little bit of a gleaning of the fields. The thing is, brothers and sisters, is we're speaking through the mind of election. The Bible said that some are predestined in Christ. Some of them are sealed in. The devil can't touch them. They've passed from death unto life. Some of them have not made it manifest what has truly taken place. And if a man could learn to walk in the Spirit and discern by the Spirit of God, he could be led by the Spirit and he'll be reaching out to some that others would give up on and have no hope for, think there's no chance for. And then yet there would be others that seem so polished and so religious and so everything right in order, and you won't even find the Lord dealing or drawing with that individual whatsoever at all. There is a mind of revelation and a mind of God. And brothers and sisters, and when you are in the Spirit and you're in the Spirit on the Lord's day and today is the day of the Lord, then it's easy to tell who's in the Spirit of the Lord. When you come into a congregation like this and you're worshiping the Lord and you say, well, you know, I'm just heavy on from the things of the world. Well, you shouldn't be heavy with the cares of the world. There's a time to come in and worship the Lord and break beyond those things. There's a labor, brothers and sisters, that we labor in this world. And we go out. Jesus was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. He truly was. He went out amongst the people of the world and his heart was heavy and saddened because he saw them just going on in the ways of the world. And they'd had no concern for him or the things of God or looking. And yes, it was grievous, but when he came into the house of God, brothers and sisters, he came and he would worship. And the thing is that when you're burdened in your heart and you're heavy in your heart and those things, and it comes to keep you from worshiping the Lord, or when your mind is spinning like a top and your thoughts are over here and over there and thinking about this one, you should never be in a church service resenting somebody else worshiping God. You should never be in a service where you sit and feel like, well, this one's this way and that way. Hey, let them have an opportunity to love the Lord and worship the Lord. Amen. And they'll find themselves clean. But when sometimes we sit there with a critical thought and spirit and trying to find, you know, fault with this one or that one and can't receive, man, we're not receiving from the Lord. You see, when the Spirit of God is moving through people, and we need to learn to worship Him. Amen. There should be a love affair in your heart that just this Spirit emanating out through you, and you just want to love Him. You know, brothers and sisters, I could stand in a congregation of the wicked and worship the Lord because He's with me, He's in me, and through me, just as we read here. I don't have to have an atmosphere prepared for me. You see, brothers and sisters, and even though the music ministry is trying to lay that atmosphere, and we do bring the rain of God in, and if you're having troubles even worshiping Him in the rain, then what's it going to be when you're really in the midst of the battle, and you'll find yourself in despair, and you'll find yourself all alone? You know, worship of God, brothers and sisters, is something, because He's a God that has to be worshipped, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we can't find a place to worship Him, we're in really serious problems with Him. There should be something in your heart just just loving to worship and praise Him. I know it's an exhortation this morning, but you know, I have to exhort, brothers and sisters, because I find my heart sometimes saddened in the fact when I see other people that can't find a place to worship. You say, well, maybe the musicians ain't in tune, or maybe this and that. See, that doesn't have anything to do with it, I'm telling you. You know, well, I just don't like the singer. I don't like, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You should be able to find a mind of worship when the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord is moving, that you just, you know, don't need to be exhorted to lift up your hand. There's something just wants to raise up your hands and look up towards the heavens and say, Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you, O God. Amen. This should be something that emanates through your heart and through your mind. As the first part of this chapter, it says here that Jesus had lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So again, we cannot remove the thoughts of predestination when we read scriptures of such. Now the thing is you say, well, sometimes I just don't know how to deal with people when I'm out here trying to go through this world, so to speak. If I'm an ambassador for Christ and I'm not of this world, I find myself in this world. If you remember, as we're reading on down through here, he said that he was leaving us in the world and that he departed the world. But he's leaving us in the world to bring them. You see, there's a role change here is one thing, brothers and sisters, that you find the very thing of Jesus being the firstborn of many brethren. He came to bring the glory to the Father. He came to glorify the Father. And the Father said that he glorified him. Now the thing is when we find the very same thing that we're doing, if you could really truly read the God that was and read about him, when we say was, is, and is to come. Now, if you can go and take the time and go ahead and be chronological in the perspective of looking at the God that was, and you go read about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. You go read about his life and study his life out, what he did, why he came, and everything that he done. And then what you're going to have to do is make him the God that is. And you're going to have to realize one thing, that you are the God in this world. If you're the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, if you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and if you've come to what we read here, that you're in him and he's in thee, then you're going to realize the significance and the importance of your life. Now, some people really bow up at this because they think, like, well, you know, I just can't see that, you know, Jesus came and done everything. But see, he's never left us. And if he's never left us or never forsaken us, then where is he? He's dwelling within the body of Christ. And when we have resentment and evil surmising, and we're judgmental against the body of Christ, we're coming against God. What you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done to me. He didn't say what you've done to the best of them. He said to the least of them. And brothers and sisters, there's different measures in the body of Christ. You know, there's some people that haven't come to the fullness of the understanding of the revelation of who they are in him. And they have not come to the revelation of the power that they really truly have. You know, when you come to the understanding by walking in his presence and exercising faith in the perspective of pressing into the things of God and pushing your way and kicking the gates of hell down, then you'll find yourself of more and more stronger and more than a conqueror. But there's some that haven't come to that, but they're still in the kingdom. They're still sealed in by God. And he's working with them. They're not your servants, are his. It's something how we could always stand in such a place and receive the grace of God. Oh God, I'm thankful that you're merciful to me. God, I thank you that you understand that I stumble and stagger. God, I thank you, Lord, that I this, that. We always could bring the mercies and the grace of God and how, you know, how long suffering and patience and gentleness is when we come to our own life. But when we look at the other people's life, we don't have that patience and gentleness and kindness and love of God in their life. And how could somebody else's imperfections or failures in their walk, if they're in this church or another church, how can that cause you to stumble? And where would it ever give you a justification to stumble or make you feel that you're justified? Amen. As I've stood behind this sacred desk and I said, you know, one thing I could say, God have mercy and help me. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. I feel like I'm a child of God. I feel like I've been sealed in by the Spirit of God. I feel like he's caught me away into heavenly places. And I feel like I've got the Holy Ghost to endure to the end. But I could say this, that, you know, God forbid when I say it, but I could say this, if Brother Rob Coons is predestined into eternal damnation in hell, it doesn't change nothing to the fact is that you still commanded to line up with this word and to walk in this word and be full of this word and the power of this word, amen. Your salvation is not dependent upon me, amen. But the thing is your salvation has been made manifest right here in me. And when I say your salvation, I'm talking about your God, your Savior, your salvation is dwelling within me, and it's not me speaking, but it's him speaking to you. And if you can't come beyond the veil to see and comprehend and understand that, then you'll never hear the voice of God, because this is the way the Lord speaks to you in this present day and hour. He's speaking through a many-membered body. And I've got to listen to you, because the thing is the Bible said we submit one to another, and when I hear you speak, speak, I've got to listen for the mind of the Lord coming forth out of you. Amen. And if He's in you and through you, and He's in me and through me, then the thing is, when we get together, we should see eye to eye, nor break ranks, nor pierce each other through, because we pass from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we need to find out what this revealing revelation is of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could walk in it and understand the fullness of it and the potentialities that we have into winning souls into the kingdom of God. Now, to comment for a moment or two on some of the things that when I was speaking here a moment ago. The thing is that, brothers and sisters, there is a world out here that we want to save. The thing is that when we come into the mind of God, I'm going to rend a couple barriers here, if I can, or the veil, we might say. I've done this so many times, and most of your minds are pretty well indoctrinated that you could switch dimensional projection and understand the things of God. God came to this world out here. He came to this world and walked among this world, and He showed the love of God, the mercies of God, as He came to this people. The world did not receive Him. They rejected Him. They scorned Him. They bruised Him. They killed Him in the perspective of the Son of Man. He came to the world. They received Him not and rejected Him not. And they're not His. So the thing is He came out of the world. But He says here, as we read, that He left us in the world. And He left us in the world to do the very same thing. As I said, you got to go, if you go back in a chronological order, historic aspect, and read about the Lord Jesus, then you're going to place yourself there. Because you are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You know, the Bible says there's many sick and afflicted among you because you do not know how to discern the body of the Lord. And the thing is that there's many things that Jesus said that the people that walked with Him did not understand. When He said, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood," He said to His own disciples, they went away and like, "Man, what is this?" But brothers and sisters, the commandments and the things are still the same in this very day and hour. There is no difference. And the thing is what people don't understand is when we talk about being crucified afresh, or on a daily perspective, people don't realize that they are guilty of having the hammer in their hand and driving the nails in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in a present day truth. Are you saying, well, you're speaking about yourself? I've been there, brothers and sisters. I've had the mallet in my hand, and I've been one to being nailed. I've understood both sides of that thing. And then when I had the hammer in my hand, sometimes it was out of ignorance and not understanding and being puffed up in my fleshly mind, thinking that I knew something when I've come to find out that I was guilty of crucifying the Lord. I'll tell you what that does to a man. It'll make him find a place with God, and he'll be on his face. And he'll say, "God, have mercy on me." You know, and some of you have never found that. You think that you're okay and everything's fine, but you've never really found a time that you really had to fall before your face on the Lord and plead with the Lord to have mercy on you. You've never felt the weight and the despair of what kind of agony that you would find yourself in your own mind and thoughts thinking that you were guilty for killing or crucifying the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, He's a merciful God. You could say, "Man, I've never done anything of such. Man, I've just lived this godly life, man, and I've never been guilty of that." And that would right there just go to prove and to show that you've never come to the revealing or the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and a man's heart is continually deviceful and wicked and evil. Amen. And the thing is sometimes we're so led by our heart that we think we made our heart so religious, and we think that we're so much in tune with God, and we're so religious, and we're following by our own heart instead of by the Spirit of God. Amen. And there's most definitely a difference. I told a minister not long back, I said, "You know, brother," I said, "the thing is that I found that the leading of the Lord and the ministry of the Lord and following after the Spirit of God isn't always a joyous thing. I know He gives us a joy that's unspeakable, brothers and sisters, and there's a joy of that, of being led by the Lord. But Jesus, you couldn't say it was joy when He was sweating great drops of blood in the garden, but He still had the joy of the Lord, brothers and sisters, somebody couldn't take away from Him. But you know what I'm talking about, rending the veil, when He found Himself in a despair and praying and pleading at this cup, if there was any way that it could pass. You don't sweat great drops of blood by not being in a travail. You have to be in a travail. And science has proven that it is possible for a man to be in such a travail that the blood would actually seep through his skin by being in that kind of a travail. So a lot of times we read the scriptures and we think it's some kind of an allegory or some kind of a thing, but it's actually a reality when a man finds himself in that kind of a thing. He found his disciples could even stand with him and pray with him while he was going through that as they drifted off to sleep. And sometimes we're guilty of the very very things today. We'll slip off into sleep, brothers and sisters. I'm not speaking natural, but we'll just be walking in a daze, in a sleep, so to speak, and not being present or aware of exactly what is happening within our midst. You know, we could hear a message like this and we could think, well, the preacher's trying to bring this thing to himself. No, I'm trying to bring it to you. I've already got it. You understand it? I'm not bringing anything to myself. I've already got it. I've already received everything that pertains unto life, passed from death unto life. I'm walking in the resurrection because I am the resurrection. So I'm trying to bring you to that kind of a revelation that you could know who you are and quit stumbling through life and all kinds of despairs and all kinds of these things and being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, unstable in all of your ways, being tossed to and fro. See, that is an evidence that you haven't come to what I'm speaking about. I'm not trying to bring anything to myself. He gave it to me before the world ever was. I cannot take this thing. It's something that you can't just go take and grab. You could grab it through some kind of an intellectual mind and think, well, I got the right things to say, this, that, but it's more than the right things to say. It is the Spirit that speaks. It is the Spirit that receives. It is the Spirit that walks and talks. It is Him. It's not you. It isn't to glorify. The things that I have isn't to glorify me. That's why I make this clear. It's to glorify Him. Jesus said He came to glorify His Father and to glorify Him, and He said He glorified Him. The thing is, brothers and sisters, I do everything as unto the Lord and unto Him and to give all glory unto Him. And the thing is He does glorify me in that because we are the glory of the Lord. He said He hasn't given His glory to none. We're not to any others. We're not any other. We are Him, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We have got everything, brothers and sisters, that pertain unto life. And this has to come a revelation to you, that you could recognize who you are and know who you are in Him. Because you're nothing outside of Him. The Bible said you're predestined not in yourself. You're not predestined in some church. You're not predestined in some kind of faith or some kind of thing. You're predestined in Christ. This is in Christ. Amen. There's no other way except in Him. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the door. He is God. And the only way that you can have this is by being in Him and Him in you. Amen. You can't separate that. I remember Brother Pike using an example one time. He used to use the illustration of, he said, you take a little bit of iodine and you put it in a glass of water and you stir that thing up and say, somebody separate that. You see, you can't do it. And that's the way you should be in God. There should be something that you're inseparable. I remember another message he ministered one time years ago, and he called it the touch me not. And he said, you know what? You're the touch me nots of the Lord. There ain't anything can touch you. You know, when you're in Him and He's in you, you've already hid away in Him. There's nothing that could touch you. Nothing could be laid to your charge, being God's elect. Now see, we could hear these kind of things, brothers and sisters, and we could think, well, that's me, man. That's where I'm at. But you see, if that's truly where you're at, and you're truly a touch me not, then Satan can't affect you. You know, let's talk about Jesus again for a moment. Look at His life for a moment. When He walked along, did Satan affect Him? Now think about it. You say, well, sure He did. You know, this is why He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and seeking Him, because Satan evidently had an effect on His life. But then yet, when I'm saying an effect, you know, again, He was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. We're talking about the man side. But there was an assurance of the hope. He knew who He was. And He was trying to bring it to you to know who He was, to the people of the world at that time, that they would know who He was. So He walked in power and authority before them that they could see beyond the veil and recognize the power of God, and that they could see it made manifest in the earth. So the thing is when I say when it has an effect, I can tell you this, that Satan will come against you. And it is going to affect you in the perspective of, it's going to make you press in harder. It's going to make you tighten in the reins. It's going to make you push your way more so into the kingdom of God, because you're more than a conqueror. It's going to make you a better soldier in Christ. But when I'm talking about, it will affect you in one sense of thing, but it is not going to put you into a place of despair or losing your soul. The thing is that when you keep yielding your members over to His Spirit and not to the Spirit of God, then that's where the dispute for this body's at. And the dispute is for your body. You can say, well, I'm a Christian. Man, I'm born again. I said the sinner's prayer, or I spoke in tongues, or I felt the Spirit of God, or I feel it now. The rain's coming down. Boy, I felt in the altar, sir. Or during while we was worshiping and praising God, I felt the goosebumps on the back of my neck. Man, I felt this warm thing come over me and flow all the way down to, man, I know I'm a child of God. Well, the thing is, brothers and sisters, we know who are the children of God by the Spirit of God and the Spirit that bears witness within our spirit. And the thing is not everybody that cries, Abba, Father, not everybody that's saying that He is their God is of God. And you say, well, how would we know? Well, one thing is you won't know until they endure to the end. Because there's many times that people would look and appear to be right, but they're not enduring to the end. And if they don't endure to the end, what if they stumble, Brother Robert? What if that, does that mean they didn't endure to the end? Well, Yes, it does. The thing is, brothers and sisters, you're woe unto you that are given to change when you're up and down. Up and down. That's not God. You could say, I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. I feel like I'm the elect of God. That doesn't matter in anything. Let me tell you about the elect of God and the power of God. The Bible teaches us very clearly. It talks about some that are running like a man beating at the air. It talks about, again, tossed to and fro, forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? Is the knowledge of the truth, brothers and sisters, a head knowledge, or is it a spirit of knowledge? It's a spirit. And when you receive the spirit of knowledge, you receive also the spirit of power and the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and discernment and these things, this gives you the authority and the power to walk in the presence and in the spirit of God. Not to an overconfidence of any kind of way, but to a knowing who you are in Him, and your confidence goes into Him, but not into your studies, not into your lifestyle, not into your geological location, not into your church that you attend. It goes into a knowledge of who you are in Him, sealed in, hid away with Him, Him abiding in you and you abiding in Him. Just kind of exhorting you here this morning, don't let your heart be troubled or let it be heavy. Just examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Now the thing is let's talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. Do the sons of God manifest Himself in weakness? Now, did Jesus manifest Himself in weakness? No, He didn't. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, some would have judged the Lord Jesus Christ's life as some kind of a weakness. But that's the way they would judge it out of the flesh. I used to hear things, and when I was in the world, I didn't believe them. I'd hear things like, well, it takes more of a man to walk away from a situation. I thought, yeah, that's a sissy's way out. You know, nobody's going to get in my face. Nobody's going to do this and that. But I did come to find out when I come to the revelation of the Lord, it takes a lot more power to overcome the thing of the flesh than it does to manifest the flesh. Anybody could go out there and scrap with somebody. I found that even when a man whoop you, at least he had respect for you in the perspective of thinking, well, at least he's going to fight. And they'd back off and leave you alone. That's the way I found in the world. And I thought, well, this is the way the world operates. This is the way it is. But you see, that's world, brothers and sisters. We're not of this world. We're a different, peculiar people. Yeah, it's peculiar when a man lets another man spit in his face and abuse him and do that in a way, and you say, hey, I love you. That's peculiar. That was sure peculiar to me when I was in the world, brothers and sisters. That was a peculiar thing for me. There wasn't no way that was going to happen. I don't care how big they was or whatever. Man spit in my face or say something, that, and he's going to have to whoop me. That's the way it was. I was the kind of guy that I'd have rather walked away with a black eye, a busted lip or something, and man, this guy whooped me is letting him get by with that. Man, I'm going to try to get a shot in or something. But see, that's worldly, brothers and sisters. That's a world mind, a world thought, and it's just a manifestation of the Satan, the god of this world. So the thing is if we're going to learn to exercise faith and we're going to walk in the Spirit and let Him be in you, that He be glorified. How was He glorified? How was God glorified in Jesus? It wasn't through scrapping and fighting or selling these people. You know, I'm the King of Kings, man. I've got all authority and power. And He could have slain the whole bunch of them. He could have whooped every one of them. Do you realize that? It was His Spirit that was in the brother, the prophet, where He took the jawbone of an ass and slew hundreds. It was His Spirit in Samson that pulled down these pillars. Don't you know that He could have manifested that way, but He didn't, because He was glorifying something else, the authority over the things of the flesh. Now the thing is, so what are we saying here? I'm saying this, brothers and sisters, that the only way God could be glorified in you is by that the world see that you are peculiar and that you're different. You say faith? Faith is always manifested in persecution. Faith is always manifested in tribulation. Faith is always manifested in those things. You know, brothers and sisters, I know both sides of this story. I've failed on both sides. I've seen both sides manifest in my life. I've seen God manifest in my life where I was capable of suffering the wrong and swearing to my own hurt and being crucified and being silent before the slaughter, saying, go ahead, I love you, man, but if this is what you're going to do, praise God. God prepared your heart to do this. This is the way I'd be thinking. I know God's prepared this to happen, that He could be glorified, because nobody would understand the power of God until you be lifted up, where you lifted up to the cross and crucified. Now, the thing is, this is something that we don't like to talk about in Christianity. You know, Christianity today doesn't talk about God hates the world. Christianity today is God loves everybody, and the reign of God is on everybody, and everybody's being blessed. So it's easy to receive that message. But you see, there's a difference between the reign that's on the unjust and on the just, and then what the spirit of life and the living waters that are flowing from the innermost part. So it's easy to get into a religious doctrine, He loves everybody, but they don't realize that He's angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. You see, brothers and sisters, and right here, as we said, He's not praying for them of this world. How could you say that He loved them if He's not even praying for them? You see, they're not His, but He came for His own, and His own are glorified in Him. So what we have to do is we start rending the veil and understanding this. You see, your fleshly outer garment of iniquity is walking in the blessings of God, because there's the rain again is on the just and the unjust, and we're in a dispensation with the blood on the mercy seat, and the judgments of God isn't coming to the garment of flesh at this point of time. So everybody's walking in the blessings of God. But there's a difference, brothers and sisters, of walking in the blessings of God, and the spirit of the blessing, or the spirit of power, the spirit of truth, is emanating through you instead of being a receptor of it, of want to be giving it. Now, the things that's going to bring you into knowing who you are in the election of God, and knowing that you truly have the faith of God, and the only way that the faith is going to manifest and the pure life of the Spirit is going to manifest, is in persecution and tribulation. You see, it's easy to say, I love God, while everything's going fine for you. It's easy to say, oh, I'm a child of God, hallelujah, I've got all the provisions. It's like the man in Tennessee, when he called me up and said, hey, all my friends in my church are mocking me and saying, where's your faith and stuff, because he's walking in affliction. I said, brother, this is God. I said, God's having his way in this, that they could see that there's something in your life. See, Brother Pike didn't preach a man of faith about healing and God's a healer and done all of those, and he didn't quit preaching that when the afflictions came to his own body. He was afflicted in his body, and people become with little trivial elements compared to what was dwelling in his body and flesh. And he would come and he would lay hands and speak faith and pray for people, and they were being delivered and healed miraculously, healings and deliverances and things. But then yet these things was in his body. You see, why? Why would God allow such a thing to happen, man? Where's this great man of God? Where's faith? Didn't they say that to Jesus when he hung on the cross? Come on, great physician, heal thyself. If you're who you say you are, come down off the cross. And there would be people mocking Brother Pike at the very same way. Well, where's this great healing God? One of his children came into the hospital room and said, where is this God you've been preaching about? Where is this great healer? And he said, get out of my presence and get out of my room. One of the things he said to me, one of the last conversations I had with him, he looked me right in the eye and he said, Brother Rom, he said, it don't matter what happens to this body. He said, you remember what I preached? You see, it doesn't matter. See, he didn't bring the glory to his body. He brought it to the body of the Lord. We had to rend the veil between that natural body of humanity and mankind, or of this world, and rend the veil between those. Now, the thing is there's some fine lines right here when we start talking about this body. I can tell you in one perspective, I say, man, this body is the body of corruption. It's appointed to go back to the dust. And I can speak about it that way. But then yet, in the foreknowledge of God and in the plan of God, this body was made to live forever and ever and never see death or corruption. That's the way it was designed. But sin came into the world, and sin brought forth death, and sin brought forth corruption. And you see, the death came by man. It wasn't by God. God isn't the God of death. He's the God of life, the Prince of life, and death came by man. So the thing is we found that this body, because of this curse and this fall, we found this body subjected to the things of this world. And we don't put our eyes upon this body. We put our eyes in the Spirit and watch things by the Spirit and see the Spirit manifested in this body. So we find the light being veiled within the darkness of the body of corruption, or the light being veiled within the darkness, and we call forth the light, and we find the veil being rent in the present day and hour, and we find this true light stepping forth, and that is the Spirit of God. And we have to learn to recognize that Spirit, walk in that Spirit, and see that Spirit. But let's go back to the thoughts here for a moment, go over the manifestation of God and the manifestation that's manifesting within you when we're talking about the deeds. The thing is if we observe life and we say, what is life? Well, there's a spirit of life, brothers and sisters, of spirit life. And then there is a temporal life, which has to do with the breath of life. And see, sometimes we get to seeing, you know, the Bible talks about man being like a flower. It comes up for a time and we see the beauty of this flower, but then it dies away and withers away. And it prepared man to that way. And sometimes we get looking at the life of man and we see the beauty of the flower of life, and we see that and we think, man, this is God. But see, it fadeth away. It goes back to corruption. It goes back to nothing. It wilts away. So see, we got to learn not to look at the line vanity of temporal life. And we got to look beyond the veil of temporal life into spirit life, because that's the eternal, and that's the part that's beautiful. And when your life is so subject to the temporal things of life, and you see that you're moved by the temporal things of life, and only moved by the things of temporal life, and I see that you're not moved by spirit life, see, that would concern me as a minister. A lot of times, you know, it's like you look for the exuberance of people in their relationship with God. You know, and boy, they show, man, God's so good, God's so awesome, man, we're serving a just God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, I got a new car. Praise God, man, I got this, and praise God, I got that. And that's the exuberance of your life. But those are temporal things. The car's temporal. You know, I've purchased many cars over the years. I can think about some of the new cars that I bought back in the 70s. And I look at them now, and they're rust buckets. They're going down the road, and they're limping at. But boy, at one time, that thing's like, whoa, check it out. Shining, and everything was just so pretty. It had a nice smell. Now it smells like an old heap and rust bucket and the oil and the smoke and all that. But you see, you'd get out of the exuberance of temporal life, and when you get a new car, and you look at it and say, you know what? This thing's going to be a rust bucket someday. It's just going to be an old piece of junk. And then all of a sudden, all the zip and zeal would leave that. If lust consumes your flesh and you're being consumed by the lust of the flesh, if it's towards the passions of this world, and you look at the woman in her tight-fitting clothes and her physique and figure and say, you know what? This old thing's going to push out of shape. She's going to turn into an old fat sweat hog, you know, and she's going to get ugly and wrinkled and swivel up. Man, all of a sudden you might not desire that so much. You know, but see, there's a balance in what I'm saying here. You know, and I know that sounds offensive to some of it, but I'm just trying to get you out of that mind of thinking like, you know, you just give you and sell your soul for a woman. You know, and I mean, just look at it differently. I remember using allegories with you. You know, if somebody come and put a little secret into you, as you're just like, I can't control the passions of this flesh, man. I got to have. But if somebody dropped a little thing in your ear and said, man, she's eat up with AIDS. You touch that thing and you're dead. All of a sudden, I bet you could start controlling them passions, couldn't you? All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, man, you could throw the brakes on that thing. And you can do that. You could learn to exercise dominion over the flesh, power over the flesh, power over lust, power over these sensations that you deal through. But what happens is you surrender to them. I was speaking with a minister not too long ago, and we were talking about authority in the spirit. And I was telling him, I said, you know, the problem that I find as a minister to get people to exercise authority in the spirit over the things, and problem that they like them. They desire them. They like them. You see, you may have heard of times of what you call an adrenaline rush. Anybody ever heard of an adrenaline rush? And you know, there's sometimes people, man, that they're, you see these programs they got now where these people are, they're some kind of junkie. I don't know, daredevil junkie or whatever they are. But these people are not getting this sensation of this rush in their body unless their life is right on the line. I mean, people are doing crazy stuff, man. They're diving out of airplanes without parachutes and going over and getting in another airplane or hooking up with somebody in midair. That's adrenaline junkie, I guess you'd have to say. You know, and they're jumping off bridges and mountains and skyscrapers, man. It's against the law, but they sneak up these things and they're jumping off. And this is where they find a thrill. You know, and you tell them, say, you know, you're crazy, man. You're risking your life and they're going to be reading about you, man. They're going to be peeling you up off the blacktop out there someday. But you see, there's a thrust in them and they're not satisfied unless they're doing that. There's people that in every kind of life and every kind of thing that they're just thrusting into those things. But you see, it's a spirit. All things are motivated by spirits. There's nothing happening that you see in the temporal realms of life. There's nothing happening in this world unless it's motivated through a spirit. And this is again why we've many times got to try the spirit and see if it would be of God. Sometimes our religious motivations are motivated by a spirit, but they're not motivated by a spirit of God. Sometimes people give because there's a spirit forcing them to give, and it isn't a spirit of God, but they're doing it for recognition. They do it for they could be seen of others and say, you know, look at me. There's others that have a spirit pressing them to study the Bible and to learn the word for they could stand before people and they can stand before them with their long prayers and things, and it's a spirit pushing them, and it would ever look so religious and ever even make people desire where they can understand like that. But see, it's not the right spirit. You see, there's a spirit of truth and a spirit of God, a spirit of life, a spirit of power, a spirit of love that is wanting to emanate in you, and it brings the glory to the Father. When it brings glory to you, or brings glory to your flesh or to your things, then God can't have his way in it. God wants to have his way in everything about you and about your life. You see, one person could be walking in the presence and being glorified by God in the presence, even with the natural things around about them, and another person with the same natural things is a thing to testify against them on the day of judgment. And one person will be finding fault with somebody for their abundance, and they have nothing and think it's God, but then the one with the abundance seems to be sowing mightily into the kingdom of God and doing something for God, and God's adding an increase, while the other one is finding fault with the one in abundance and doing anything for God. What is the mind of this? What is the balance of this? You see, brothers and sisters, this is where we got to get away from resentment and evil surmising. We got to get away from all those kind of mindsets and those things and be led and walk in the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. So we find that I can say that all of us walk in the Spirit. Can I say that this morning? Yes, I can. We all walk in the Spirit. But what spirit are we walking in is what's questionable. You see, many times we can't discern between the Spirit of God and between the spirit of a religious man. And sometimes we can't rend the veil of that and understand it or comprehend that. This is why the Bible says that there's many that would say they're Christ. And it says, when one comes and says Christ is over here, it said, don't go there looking. It said, there's many amongst us. And there's many people in this day and hour professing, hey, I'm a Christian. There's many churches that are professing, hey, we're the one that's right. We're the one that's correct. We're the ones that's walking in the truth. Believe me, I've been involved with denominational works all over the country at different times, and I haven't been involved with one of them didn't say that they were the one that was the truth and the right. So many times, you go down here to the Baptist Church, oh, we're the one with true doctrine. When we was over there in the Dakotas working with them brethren over there, was sitting and talking with a man in the Mennonite church. He said, man, this is the closest thing to God's word that I found. He said, the Mennonites. And he said, if there was anything closer, if God would show me anything different, he said, that's where I would go. And when I was in Assemblies of God, first came in Assemblies, I was telling Brother Randall the other day, I said, you know, when I first got saved, I was in Assembly of God church, and when my business or working with Dad and the aviation things would move us into another area, you know, I didn't, you know, go and pray to the Lord, say, God, lead me to a church you'd have me to be in. Man, I just opened up the yellow pages. Hey, this is the one that's right, Assembly of God. That's where I'd go. Man, I found myself sitting under some terrible things. We won't even go there. I mean, I sat under men that were supposed to be men of God, were nothing but hirelings and whoremongers. And I mean, I sat under, but you know, hey, I was Assembly of God. There's so many hundreds of thousands of people in the same condition I'm testifying that I was in. You know, I raised up in this, you know, in such church. Man, I know this is right. I mean, you know, grandma and grandpa and granddad and great uncle and this and that, man, they said this is right. Man, I've been there. I know what that is. And when I speak against that, it's speaking with an understanding, because I've been in that mindset, and it's so easy to get into, you know, but I see the blessings of God there. And, you know, this and that, the blessings on all of them, brothers and sisters. The Catholic Church has got the same blessings of God raining down on it, and they're all blessed. The churches that got these whoremongers in it, and these men that are with the other men's wife, and the secretaries of the church and all that, man, the blessings of God are there. It's raining down. Man, they'll get up and say persuasive things from the sacred desk or from their pulpits. Man, and the power of God will move, and man, they'll preach like a ball of fire. And you see, but the only ones that are going to be deceived in that is the ones that's not God's elect. And sometimes when you are God's elect and you're young, and you're in a travail in your mind and a warfare trying to discern between all these things, and we find ourselves being partakers with things that ain't of God, and walk with, man, I've been guilty. Man, I was guilty and partakers of things that weren't of God, supporting it with my finances, my time, for years. Even after I came to the revelation of the Lord, or where the revelation of the Lord was, I found myself still walking in deception, finding myself being deceived. Oh, but you can't deceive God's elect. You can't keep God's elect in this deception, is what I'm saying. You know, we don't have a spirit of error, but we err. I've erred. Well, you can't have that testimony. It's because you're puffed up in your fleshly mind and thinking too highly of yourself. I'll tell you what, you find any great man of God that has been there, and when he came through the places that he's come in God, is because he has stumbled and fallen on his face before the living God, and God picked him up. You'll never come to the revelation of who the son of perdition is until you find yourself on the flesh. Just like I said a moment ago, I found that hammer in my hand crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the present day truth. And you say, well, I've never been guilty of that. And I say, well, you're a liar. That's what I'd have to say, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And I'm telling you what, I had to find out I really truly needed salvation and a Savior. Amen. Because in my overconfidence of my religion, overconfidence of my relationship with God, with an overconfidence, I found myself crucifying Him. Amen. And again, as we are saying, that we have to take and bring these things to a present truth. It's easy again to talk about the historical God or the future God, but we need to bring it into a present truth. Now, when I said you read these scriptures, or you go and read about the life of the Lord Jesus and what He did and how He walked among men, if you don't witness that in your own life, you're not of Him. It's that simple. You're going to have to bring it into an I am. And if you don't bring it into an I am, and you don't see the attributes of Jesus in you, then you need a checkup and to consider yourself. You know, you could look at me and see my shortcomings and my failures and all this. You can compare me to great men of God. You can compare me to Lord Jesus. You can compare me to yourself. I don't care. You compare me any way that you want to. I'm a servant of the Lord, and He is my God, and I'm in Him and sealed in by Him. But you know, you can find fault with me. That's okay. But what I'm saying is, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Amen. And the thing is God help me in my failures and my shortcomings. But I say, God help you in your weaknesses and your failures and your shortcomings. Amen. And the thing is that you can't do me no good, nor I can do you no good, until we examine our own selves and we walk in the Spirit of the Lord and bring His presence into a present day truth and into a revelation of a revealing of Christ. Pray that God would grant unto you the Spirit of revelation. You know, you want the Spirit of revelation to reveal in me, and I do too. But the thing is I want the Spirit of revelation to be revealed in you. And I hope that you do also. But it's easy for you to look at me and judge me against what you think the revelation of the Lord is, when you should be judging your own self and examining your own self and bringing the revelation to you. And if you find failure in my life or shortcoming in my life, then you should overcome that with good, and you should bring forth the revelation and the revealing of Christ in your life, that I could be drawn onto a closer place with God through you. Amen. It's easy to make it everybody else's responsibility. It's easy to see how everybody else is supposed to do it and to find fault with everybody else, what they're doing and how they do it. But what we need to do is just examine ourselves. And we'll find that we could be powerful in God by letting God live and reign and move within us. And now the thing is I could talk to you as brethren also. Other than a pastor and talking to the congregation, I could also talk to you as a brother. And you know, I said, you know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, that we hinder ourselves to have a mouthpiece. There's actions and things that we do in our life that seems to hinder us to have a mouthpiece. Now, you know, examine it yourself or judge it yourself. If you see me off in town and I'm drinking or smoking or doing those kind of things, and I come and want to preach gospel, you ain't going to receive. Now, whose fault is that? You say, well, sure, Wyatt, I'll take that and say, yeah, it would be my fault, because I should keep myself unspotted from the world, that I could have a good name within and without, that I could have the power to speak. But so many times, this is what I was trying to tell the brethren, is there's things in our lives that hinder us from having a mouthpiece. And then we find ourselves discouraged because we want to talk to people about God, because God's dealing with us or speaking to us, and it might just be rain. But we want to find ourselves speaking about the things of God, but we find people having a reluctancy, we could say, to listen to us, because they've already looked at our lifestyle and say, well, this guy, how could I receive from him or hear from him, even though the Bible says do what they say, not what they do. So even though a man might be out of whack in his life, he could still say the right things. But I was speaking like this, there shouldn't be a hindrance of people listening to us because of our lifestyle and the things that we do. Now, there's a balance in this. Sometimes we can get so critical, and we can have such a critical judgment on people that we just can't hear from nobody or nothing. You know, in those same critical spirits, Brother Pike walked a closer walk with God than any other man I've ever met. But people continually found fault with him, continually crucified him. Every single day, he would come into the presence of people, and they're wearing him out in his mind continually. He said and explained to us all the time, and he walked an overcoming life. He was a good man, a clean man, an upright man. But people crucified him and found fault with him every single moment of the day in his presence. So the thing is what is the balance in this? And again, what was I trying to do? I was trying to say, hey, brother, let's don't have something in our life to hinder us from speaking God's word. You know, if it's offensive to eat meat, don't eat meat if it offends your brother. So if I'm going to go to a brother's house and he's a vegetarian and he thinks that, you know, he's come to some revelation of God, that, man, I can't eat this red meat and I can't eat this and that. Well, if I'm going to go over and try to win this man, I'm not going to go over there with big steak. He's going to think, well, man, I've hindered the Lord from utilizing my life. See, I could get into a big dispute. Well, the brother's wrong. I know it's okay. You know, I know what happened over there when Peter was on the housetop praying and these things descended down. I know the word of God. That guy's wrong. No, you're wrong. And this is the way many of you do. You judge others and you think, well, you're the one wrong. I'm right. I've got this liberty. No, you don't have that liberty. You're a servant of God. And he said if it offends them, not to do it. The ones that have been walking in this mind and in this thought and in this revelation that should be separated from those things, but there's people that ain't listening to them because of what they see. If it's an action, if it's a lifestyle, if it's the way that you dress, if it's, you know, if it's whatever it is. So what my exhortation was going is you hinder yourself of having a mouthpiece. Now, he would come in if the Spirit of God dealt with him and said, man, this is happening at home, at church, man, and we need to do this and that. You need to speak to the people. And he goes over and finds that nobody's listening. So now here's the way we could look at this and say, well, the people are in error. They should be able to listen to the guy. But you see, what I'm saying, my exhortation would be going to that man because he's hindered his mouthpiece. He's hindered God speaking through him because of his lifestyle and the things that he's done. That was what the exhortation was, as in brotherly love and kindness, and just saying, hey, let's don't hinder ourselves. And many times we do things that affects people from being able to hear what we have to say, and they won't listen to you. It would be hard for you to be able to tell somebody how to overcome alcohol, and that the power of God is so awesome and powerful that you can overcome alcoholism, and you're a sot. And you're a drunkard, and you're given to it yourself. You say, well, where is this power of God? You see, there's many things that come to you as the children of God that came to the Lord Jesus. You think, well, I must be out of the will of God because of this persecution, this tribulation. I must be out of God's will because the people hate me. No, see, it isn't that way. This is for God to show his will. These things were prepared before the foundation of the world. that God could be seen and made manifest in your life. And in closing thoughts, I'll say this again. How is God going to be made manifest in your life? Let's talk about God as love. So how's the love of God going to be manifested in your life? Oh, well, this is the love of God. Your brother Andy comes to me and says, you know, Brother Rob, I love you, man. I appreciate you. I say, I love you too, Andy. Boy, there's the love of God. No, that's not it. It's easy for Andy to love me and for me to love him. Because we're kind to one another. We do things for one another. You see, it's easy. It's easy for me to love Brother Troy. Brother Troy loves me. It's easy for to love Brother Andy. But what about to love them that despitefully use you? Now we're talking about God's love. For them that are evil, to them, as when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. How many of you would be like that? Think about it now. They manhandle you to the fact they tie you to this thing and then they drive the nails in your hand. How many of you would be saying, Father, forgive them? Think about it. You see, but if the same Spirit of God that dwelled in him is to dwell in us, and we should bring forth the same manifestation, the same attributes. This is what we're pressing to. So when you find anger rising up and vengeance, then you say, wait a minute, this isn't you, God. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And it's not mine, it's his. And here I am, and I should be saying, Father, forgive them. Lord, help me. You see, this is how we grow in the faith. This is how we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. This is how we press in our way into the kingdom of God. So instead of me saying how unjust this man is for what he's doing to me, or how evil this man is, or this generation, or these people, then I'm saying, you know what, Lord, you've suffered this, you've sinned it, that you could be glorified in me. And the only way he could be glorified is when there's conditions. Go and read the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? If we say love, then we were just speaking about how God's love shows. We say joy. So the thing is joy, when we get around together, we're sucking down a few suds, man, blowing a few reefers, snorting up a little, man, that's joy. Woohoo, boy, we're having a good time. And then the next day, your head's splitting and pounding, man. You feel unclean and you feel defiled, like you've defiled your body. See, that's not the joy. There is a temporal joy. Then there's a joy of the Lord. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. You might find yourself in a ecstasy of mind for a short time, and you feel like you found this peace. But there's a peace, brothers and sisters, that when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's 10,000 at your right hand that are gone over dead, that you've got this peace that you're walking right through. See, that's something that is a different kind of peace. And sometimes we take the fruit of the Spirit, and we think, well, I understand that. But see, you don't understand love because someone loves you and you love them. You say, well, love is when I take my grandkid or my little baby and I hold it and I love it. See, that's not love. You see, love, when they are evil and wicked, those kind of things, and you're showing love. But you just said, Brother Rob, that he doesn't love them that are in the world. He hates them. But he sent us in the world. He came out and he sent us into the world. And we're to love them that they could come in because they might be the ones that are going to come in through you. This is why we're numbered in the scriptures as saviors in him. Not as savior. You cannot be a savior out of him because there's only one savior and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're in him and that makes you a savior. You see, this is why we have the things that we need to understand and comprehend. So when we start thinking of, we say, joy and peace and long-suffering. You see, if you're long-suffering with something, that means there's some kind of opposition against you. This is where God's showing. When they hate you and you love them, then there's the love of God that's being made manifest. When there's all of this animosities and strife and confusion and railings and bickering and all those things there, and you just walk in peace and say, let them, they'll work it out. Praise God. You're just going, see, there's a peace in God. But when you're moved by all those things, and every time you see that all this animosity is around you and all this stuff just around you, you see, you haven't found that true peace yet. And you're not walking in that. Well, I've found both sides. I could preach this kind of gospel because I failed these things and I'm talking to you and I've found that I can walk in these things and I can let God manifest. But the way I've learned to let him manifest is in opposition, persecution, tribulation. This is where he's made known. You see, there's not much of a manifestation. Like I said, if you go up to, I guess the planet's called Krypton or something with Superman, you know, hey, he's not Superman there. Everybody's got X-ray vision there. Everybody can fly there. Everybody does this and that. But you see, he comes down to the earth and he's a Superman. And the thing is this is the way Christ is going to manifest in you. You see, when you're amongst the saints of God, there's no manifestation. But when you're amongst the people of the world, there has to be a manifestation because it's darkness and their darkness is going to unveil the light within you. You wouldn't comprehend light unless there was darkness. So it's the darkness of this world and the tribulations and persecution of this world that's going to bring the manifestation of light in your life. So don't kick against it. Understand it and say, Lord, you've made this to happen and allowed this to happen that you could be glorified, that you could be magnified, that you could be lifted up and draw all men unto you. If there's something that's hindering your mouthpiece, and there's something that hinders hindering the Spirit of God speaking through you? Is there something hindering that people cannot receive from you? Don't make it the people's fault. Many times, you know, well, they won't listen. They won't hear. Well, you've hindered that by what you do. And sometimes it takes years. When Brother Pike sent me up here to pastor a church, he said it took over 10 years for healing to take place up here before he could send a minister up here. It was his purpose the whole time, he said. But he said he could not do it because there was some healings that had to take place up here. And the thing is sometimes when you've damaged your faith and damaged your testimony and those kind of things, then you come in, you hit the altars and you cry a little bit or this, then you think, well, praise God, what's wrong with these people? They need to accept me. You know, and see, it doesn't work that way. We need to walk beyond reproach. We need to walk in authority in the scriptures and merit people to look and to follow after you. If you want an audience for people to give heed to you, make sure that you've examined yourself and walked. Brothers and sisters, I can testify to you one thing. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to move by the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. And the thing is there is an old man that gets in the way, Brother Rob, an old fleshly man, and he gets in the way. And you know what? It's my duty to mortify, to kill him out and keep him buried out. Amen. It just is it's your duty to receive the Word of God, to hear the exhortations that come forth from the throne of God. And it's your responsibility to take and examine yourself and to mortify the things that would be displeasing to God within your life. And just remember one thing, that His Spirit doesn't always strive with man in the perspective. Don't take God's mercy and grace for granted just because the mercies and grace is on this whole world. And just because you feel the reign of God, and just because you feel all that, and you feel like you're God, don't take that for granted in any way, shape, or form. Continually press and press and press into the kingdom of God, because there's some that are twice dead and plucked up by the roots, and some that no longer the Spirit of God dwells with them. Amen. What a sad, terrible place for one to find themselves. When you come into the house of God, come in prayer with thanksgiving in your heart. Amen. And when you come into the house of the Lord, you should be willing to worship Him and lift your hands and praise Him and love Him. Amen. Without being exhorted, because when you fall in love with Him and He is the Spirit of love, and you find that love in your heart and you find it making contact with the genuine Spirit of love, there's something that just wants to magnify and worship and love Him. And don't let the clouds of darkness despair you, or the things of this world, when you come so heavy and burdened in your heart that you can't break through that and worship Him, then there's a problem. Because if you remember when the storms of life came and the boat was a rock and Jesus was what? Asleep. He wasn't troubled by that. You see, and it's because you haven't come to that place when He said, oh, ye of little faith. When you come to faith in God, and even though the boats are rocking and the storm clouds are there, you're going to have a faith. And it's as simple as what He did. He said, peace, be still. And there's sometimes you need to be speaking to the storms within your life and just say, wait a minute, peace, be still. You can't deal properly when you're out of whack in your spirit with the storm. I could use an allegory of aviation. And Brother Pike was in his own airplane, and he had a guy that was supposed to be a pilot flying it. And Brother George is in there, and the guy got into the weather and he froze up at the wheel. He freaked out, didn't know what to do. And Brother George made the guy get out of the pilot's seat and took his son, which was a student pilot at the time and a novice, because he could speak to his son and say, look, everything's okay. Just do what I tell you to do. And they got the airplane. They descended down underneath the weather and got where they found it, and they figured out where they was at. The guy got lost in the clouds. They got him down below and they found a road that they followed and they made it back. And that was by the grace of God, because there's many pilots that are killed in weather of such. They get the airplane out of control and spin it into the ground or fly into the mountains or whatever. And I can tell you this, it was by the grace of God. But you see, there was a man that could not be in the midst of the storm with peace, and he's supposed to be the pilot, and froze up and he couldn't do his job. And this is what happens sometimes in your Christianity. You're supposed to be a Christian, and you're supposed to be walking in the performance and the power of God, but you've let the storms of this world trouble you so much in mind and thought that you can't find that stability to walk in the Spirit of God and stay and find that peace of God. Brothers and sisters, remember one thing, as we're going to close this service, is all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. Now, if you could truly believe the Word of God, and all of these failures and shortcomings and stumbles and all these things that's happened in your life, if you truly love God, you could say they've worked for your good to make manifest in you the weaknesses of your own flesh, that you could learn to know that you've got to draw by the Spirit of God and press into His Spirit, that you could be led by His Spirit, because the sons of God and the children of God are one thing, and that's led by the Spirit of God, and they walk in His Spirit. Amen. So let's don't talk about how spiritual we are and this and that. Let's show it forth by an overcoming life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. I appreciate you. Brothers, let's do our part to be soul winners and do what we can. And just remember again that the way to win souls is by letting your light shine that others could see His good works. Amen. And glorify the Father, which is dwelling within you. Amen. So if you want to be a soul winner, you can be partakers with us in help and support and finance of getting literature out and those things. But you can also be a soul winner by letting your light so shine that it'll glorify God. Amen. And bring the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in you. Amen. The hope of glory. And let Him be revealed in your actions, in your speech, in your conversations, in your talk, and everything. If you want to be a soul winner, then what we need to be is good husbands, good wives, good brothers and good sisters, and good employees and good employers. And this is what we do. We find righteousness and holiness and godliness manifesting itself in every aspect of your life. If anything that you do has to separate from God to be able to do it, then you're not a soul winner and you have not been partakers of life. Amen. So let's press in. I appreciate y'all and love you. Pray for me as I pray for you. And let's sing. I'll praise Him as we close the service. Amen. We'll get Brother Randall up to dismiss us in prayer. Amen. Also, as we remember Brother Eric in prayer, remember also Joe. Joe's always so kind in his spirit to me, has respect. But what we want to see is beyond that. We want to see him get back in the house of God and line up and start serving the Lord. I can see it. Can you see it, Dan? Can you see that happening? I can. Amen. You pray for my children. I pray for yours. Amen. Pray for me as I pray for you. Pray for the lost. Amen. That they could get their eyes opened up and see good when good comes. You say, Brother Rob, you say, pray for him. You said God isn't praying for him. I know he sent you into this world and you pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows who they are, who are his elect, and they're truly not lost. Amen. They'll come in. Lord bless you.